Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 177, the last show of the month of May as we wrap up the season. And there will be an episode, remember, in June, also in July, but in June, planning to make an announcement. So please keep your eyes and ears open for that. And on today's show, Bases and Summits, a perspective on being made new by Father Nathan Cromwell. He's back with a Padre in Your Pocket, all about overcoming negative self-talk, getting unstuck, getting back to the source, and reaching the summit. And it really ties into a big weekend here. My quads are burning. My hips are creaky. They hurt. I'm not going to lie. But 26.2 miles officially done. Bucket list item, full marathon complete. So we will talk about that today, too, as well as the power of prayer and the divine office and more. Full show today. So let's jump in.
Woo! Come on, D!
Where are you going? Ew!
Whoa! What are you doing?
Where is you going?
You got it! Hey, mommy!
I don't know where Mew is going.
Hey, mommy! How are you? You're doing good. Proud of you.
You are like
here. He's here.
Where did Mew go?
Oh, you got your shirt if you wanted to change. Where the heck did Matt go?
Should I change?
Huh? I have it right here.
Okay, so that's just a little sound from Sunday, the 40th annual Cleveland Marathon. I was hoping that might be a good sign, since that's also my age, that somehow I would bound like a gazelle through 26.2 miles with ease. And it didn't really happen that way at all. But I'm grateful to say that it is finished. First marathon coming in at 5 hours and 51 minutes. And to give you perspective, when I ran the Cleveland Half many years ago, my time was 2:02. Half that, 2 hours, 2 minutes for 13.1 miles. And so now since then, I've had 3 more children and slowed quite a bit, gotten older. But my hope was that I would still get around 4 hours and 30 minutes, 4 hours, 45 minutes for my first marathon. And I thought for the training that I had put in, surely I could at least get under 5 hours. That wasn't going to be a problem. So even though I missed all of my time goals significantly, I never really imagined that it would take me that long to finish. There's no shame. I just feel very grateful to have finished. I am thankful for the experience. And I did have a chance to write down some of my thoughts while they were fresh. Though to be fair, my brain has been powered down significantly. So the emotions are there. And that's what I put pen to page to write down. So I wanted to share just a few thoughts that I had shared on Facebook and on Instagram, but I want to unpack that a little bit more and share some behind the scenes things. So I'll just share a bit of what I wrote there as a recap. And it starts with, yes, my time was less than impressive. I was back there with the street sweepers, the cleanup crew. I never felt like anything but a champion. And as someone who has a very bad habit of negative self-talk perpetually, this is actually quite astonishing. Through 87 degree heat, hip pain. So that's what happened. My hips locked up at one point, which has never happened before. And it's really hard to describe other than I just felt like that even hitting the mental override button, I couldn't control my legs and they weren't cooperating, where you almost feel disconnected from your brain to your body. And there was that mechanism of my hips where they were just locked. So it was all I could do just to keep going forward. But that's why I think these races sometimes are such an enigma, because even the best runners, some days you get out there and it's like, oh, this is it. Everything is clicking. And then other days, not so much. So it was still all good. But with the heat and with this weirdness in my hips, in my body, and just the stiffness of all of that, that really slowed me down significantly. So even through that, I practiced gratitude, thanksgiving, visualization, mental fortitude to lean in. In every step, there's a choice. I can either slow down, I can stop, I can sit down, or I can keep going. And so to lean in, because I knew the longer that I took, the harder it was going to be. So just to get through it. There were a lot of people running in pairs or teams. I was totally alone. And this was difficult for me. And that's the interesting thing, too. As an introvert, I really like contemplative time, but almost 6 hours of it was maddening. It was actually very difficult too, a little bit too much of a good thing. But I also found that it was healing. It was much needed for my spirit. I'm still working through grief, not just the grief of previous losses in my life. I thought a lot about my dad. I thought about the ravages of cancer, the courage that he showed, the way that he suffered and he never let on, how much I miss him. But the living grief also, the heart sorrow that I often carry with my daughter. The experiences of pain in my body allowed me to really feel emotions that I often simply don't have time to address. Though I cried uncontrollably at points in the race, it actually gave me strength. It was a soul detox. It was a running, weeping kind of thing. I didn't stop and sit down and cry and give up. I kept going through those tears anyway. And I composed a prayer. It was a litany, remembering that even when we feel out of our league, as I did when I was at mile 18, 20, 21, 22, the heat was beating down. The course was widening. So there were points where I wasn't really seeing a lot of runners around me. And you're in pain and it's just tough. But remembering, we are chosen. We are not made for the harbor, but to set sail and to do great things by a God who calls us by name. And it is amazing to me how something so exhausting can be so restorative, something so emptying can be so filling, and something that can nearly break a person can somehow heal a person. On Sunday, I learned anew the power of hope and new life. And in conclusion, one of the best parts for me, well, it was the best, was when one of my sons, it was my son Grant, took a portable bike. My brother was there and he brought this portable bike and Grant borrowed it and he met me at mile 25. And that was it. Because you're 1 mile away and you're thinking, this is it. I'm going to have this triumphant Rocky moment. My hands raised. I'm going to sprint in. I'm going to release the Kraken and just... step on the gas. And then you're like, oh, wait, there's nothing there. I can't. But then something happens, right? And we tap into these reserves that we didn't even know. How could this be here? But it is. And that's God's grace, that reassurance, that strength. When we can't see it, we can't do it for ourselves. But something here is beyond us, pushing us forward. And so when my son met me, that's what happened. And they're my why. So I thought, I can't let them now see me slow poking it in. I have to find the strength, the reserves somewhere. So that definitely gave me a boost and his smile and his support. And then my son, who's about to graduate, my oldest Gabriel, he also met me. And the fact that he was there was to me incredible because he had prom the night before. He was out late. I knew that he had to work, so I wasn't expecting at all that he would be there. And not only was he there, he looked proud to be there. And for a mom, oh man, forget it. I don't think as long as I live that I will ever forget that. And his big goofy smile, and he had this flash t-shirt, and so he was next to me, and then the finish line. So and I didn't even know, you know, you usually spot your family. I didn't know where anybody was. I was just so kind of out of it, and they had a wheelchair there. I didn't need it, but for people, I guess, that are at that point that need to sit in a wheelchair, they had that at the finish line. And then it was done. It was complete. And I remember Brother Richard from Ireland, our friend from Ards in Donegal, telling us, sharing in an interview that the Irish call the place that you feel closer to God a thin place. And on that road of pain and struggle, I was taken there. That's what bubbled up. It was, this is the thin place. Something that I think really has shaken the community was learning about a young woman named Taylor Sipo, 22 years old, a Walsh University graduate. And if you are a longtime listener of the program, you know Walsh has sponsored our retreats, have a very close relationship with Walsh. And she, a recent graduate, a soccer player, beautiful young woman, and less than 1 mile from the finish line with her family and her boyfriend there, she collapsed and died. And that has just been heartbreaking. We, our family, had planned to go to Mass that evening because of the schedule and not being able to get there in the morning. And as it happened, that Mass was dedicated to her. And so we pray for the repose of her soul, lift up her family, just unimaginable. One meditation as I gazed at the crucifix, I think that realization came back to me again. When we gaze at Jesus on the cross, in our Catholic tradition, it is not an empty cross or a victorious king we see, but it is the sacrifice. It is the pouring out of his last drop, the corpus on the cross, the corpus Christi, the body of Christ. the dying and the rising. It is because of the sacrifice that we have the resurrection. Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And there that paradox, when I am weak, then I am strong. And that life lesson for us for all of our lives. And there's a book that I go back to, not just for Lent, but life in general, by Hubert Van Zeller, called Suffering, the Cross of Christ and Its Meaning for You. And he takes the stations of the cross, breaks them open, and offers meditation. But part of that is suffering. It's something that we are all going to be asked to endure. And this experience of being pushed physically so far beyond anything that I thought was reasonable or realistic or possible for me brought me back to this. And something I wanted to share with you is a quote. He says, "If any man will walk after Christ, let him pick up not only the cross that threatens at the moment, but the cross that is composed of a sequence of crosses. A man is a disciple not only for the duration of an isolated suffering. Discipleship is a state. And to maintain that state, the disciple must be ready to go on enduring. When the conditions of this discipleship are understood and fulfilled, the cross is seen as desirable. I know that the cross is worthwhile, and I may shrink from it, particularly in the actual experience of it, but I choose it. Finding Christ in it, I must find my happiness in it." And that for me was when I go back to this pattern of negative self-talk, but finding it in that moment, catching it and saying, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to kiss the cross. I'm not going to defeat myself and to curse it, but to embrace it. The soul that can say, this is learning about the lightness and sweetness of the yoke, about the health and strength that flow from it. When we identify ourselves with Christ, we identify ourselves with his mission. We play a part in the act that intercedes, atones, and redeems. Once a man is granted to see what the cross is all about, there would be little sense in his holding back. But we do hold back, and this is because we tend to be ruled not by sense, still less by love or by faith, but very often by fear. Sacrifice of ourselves made in the spirit of the new law cannot but be more pleasing to God than even the richest sacrifices of old. Should a Christian be content merely to profit by the fruits of Christ's suffering and not have any active share in the pain that constituted it? Should he not rather, with Simon of Cyrene, put his strength at Christ's disposal? And I think that was kind of my final takeaway, is I want to pour it all out, to hold nothing back as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, as a disciple, as an evangelist. And that is partly where the sobbing came in. And may that be for all of us, to not be afraid. But again, when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's the focus now that I want to share with you of a beautiful message from Father Nathan, Being Made New. And I think he takes all of this and wraps it up in a beautiful bow that we can apply and take away in each one of our lives. It comes back to bases and summits, beautiful insights on today's Padre in Your Pocket with Father Nathan Cromley. Take a listen. Padre in Your Pocket.
This is Father Nathan here with another Padre in Your Pocket. I want to talk with you about starting again, how to become new and fresh in your life, and what a noble thing this is for us. How awesome it is to be able to have that perspective. If you think of the number of people, maybe even our friends, who don't have that perspective, who feel like they can never be made new, and that spirit can haunt us as well, many aspects of our life. After 25 years of marriage, how is it possible to be born again? How could my relationship with my sister that's grown stale be born again? So much fighting, so many years of pain with my parents. How can I start over? How can my relationship with myself be new? There was a study that came out and it said that 70% of the self-talk in our brains that we say to ourselves is negative self-talk. And yet at the same time, for so many, we do, in fact, have this desire. The flame has not gone out. The reed has not been broken. Even though we're bent and even though our flame be sputtering, there's still that desire for life in us. I want to give you the full safe promise that Christ gives to us. Behold, I make all things new. How is it that we become new? Well, I would like to propose to you ladies that there is a way. We become new when we go back to the source. So just as if when you, if you wanted to do that in terms of life, newness of life is being born again. You go back to your mother's womb. We say, well, there's no way that I can do that physically. And I agree. But spiritually, you can. Spiritually, when you go back to the source of your love, the source of, you go back to the source of your life. So what is it that you love? So I really love my sister. And our relationship's grown cold because we got jealous or we got mad or because of the vicissitudes of time. But that love that I have for her, that deep down rootedness of being sisters, is still there. And what I need to do is go back and get in touch with that base of the relationship again. And so what activity then could I do to bring us back to our base? You see, and by going back to what's fundamental and first, both in times of origin, but also in times of intensity, I can be born again and renew in my relationship. Take, for example, an example of being intense. If you think of what is it that unites me in terms of my passions with my friends or my friendships or my relationships with my husband and my wife, what's that intensity that we need to rekindle? We need to go back, not just to the base, but also to the summit. Bases and summits are both firsts in different senses. They're both fundamental and foundational. Being born again, ladies, starts with Jesus and going back to our first fundamental relationship with him, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of mercy and forgiveness, but a prayer where you dare to say that you want to start again. And in that prayer of daring to actually trust in his mercy enough to wipe you clean and start you fresh again, you find the strength to summit the mountains. Do not be afraid of a God who can create the whole world out of nothing. He can also recreate a fallen world out of the precious blood of his son. And let us therefore throw ourselves into him and have that daring audacity to trust in his mercy beyond what we merit. This indeed is what defines us as children of God. And so we are. God bless you.
Thank you so much again to Father Nathan. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So then how can we be brought back to these truths daily without running a marathon necessarily or putting ourselves in a position of deliberate suffering? Because that happens without us needing to assist it. Through life, through this valley of tears, it happens. One way that I have found recently is through the Liturgy of the Hours, to be brought back to these ideas that Father Nathan is sharing with us, to the source of our love, to the source of our life, and to believe that something that is not getting better or an area where I feel stuck is really only temporary. And one of the big helps has been the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office. And just for a quick brush up, the USCCB defines the Liturgy of the Hours as the daily prayer of the church, marking the hours of each day and sanctifying the day with prayer in a formal way. The hours are a meditative dialogue on the mystery of Christ using scripture and prayer. At times, the dialogue is between the church or individual soul and God. At times, it is a dialogue among the members of the church, and at times is even between the church and the world. The Divine Office is truly the voice of the bride herself addressed to her bridegroom. It is the very prayer which Christ himself, together with his body, addresses to the Father. And I haven't been able to firmly stick to the office in a regular way throughout the day and night and all of the Liturgy of the Hours, but what has worked for our family is once to begin with morning lauds. So every morning we pray lauds, and lauds is Latin for praise. And that tradition of chanting the Psalms at daybreak, it is one of the most ancient practices that can be traced back to apostolic times. And I love that. And it's powerful and it's beautiful. And this started for us on a more regular basis after going on pilgrimage to the Holy Land in March, because going with the community of St. John, that's part of their order, is they pray the Liturgy of the Hours. So we would be enfolded into those prayers, whether we would be on the bus or back at the hotel. And I really wanted to take that home and incorporate that in a practical way, a way that we could keep up with in our family. And so for us, that has worked for the morning prayer. The community of St. John has a recorder set up that during their Liturgy of the Hours, so that actually records their Liturgy of the Hours every day. It's captured and then the audio is shared on YouTube. It's free, it's accessible, and I love that. And so for all of us, we can be enfolded into the prayers. It starts with a knock, you hear a knock, and then a pause, and then they begin their prayers. And this is how it sounds. I want you to take a listen. Here is Morning Lauds, just a portion.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise. The Lord is risen, alleluia. The Lord is risen, alleluia. Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth, and the highest mountains as well.
Ever ancient, ever new. So beautiful. And so every morning after readings and prayers, we pray lauds. We have a long drive to school, so it actually works to our advantage in this case. But the neat thing is Father Nathan is usually there as well. We can pick out his voice. And so to be able to pray along with a friend, as well as these monks, these brothers, is so beautiful. And I think it's been a good tether that has kept us anchored to what Father's saying, that we can be made new, to go back to the source of love, to start each day embracing fresh mercies and living with the spirit of hope. And that is what the Psalms are all about this time of year in particular. So I'm going to link up the page if you're interested in praying along too. And midday prayer, Vespers are also posted. So as much as you want to pray, it is there. And in the month of May, I think just in general, it's a good sanity saver too. So God bless you. And a couple final notes as we wrap up the season. On last week's show, I shared a little bit about the Magnify Conference. Want to give you the details one more time for our California friends. That'll be the next big event coming up. It's in Tracy, California, St. Bernard's Catholic Church. It's hosted by World Ablaze Ministries. And there are speakers. There is a beautiful worship leader. It is intended to serve women 12 years and older, which I absolutely love, and will include talks on topics from discernment, vocation, the sacraments, and so much more. It's an all-day event. I'll be actually giving two talks. So for anyone on the West Coast, if you have any friends, relatives in California that could use a day of respite, women who need to feel restored. That's the entire aim of this event, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the sacraments. Again, it is the Magnify Conference, and the theme is Loved by Him. So hope to see you there, and prayers for the graduates. That's next on our list, getting ready to have my son graduate, and all the emotions that come with that as well. So lots of full plates. Prayers as you welcome and embrace the summer, a new season, that it will be a time of being made new for you too. God bless you, friends. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So for any audio, video production needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. A big thank you to our Podbean patrons for supporting the show. Your patronage is what keeps us going. And if you have not become a Good Things Radio Podbean patron, you can find out more in the show notes. We'll link that up. We pray for our Podbean patrons every day. And so appreciate your support. In whatever your endeavor is, may you feel the strength to persevere, to know that you are not alone and that you are chosen. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.